the policy details, and we'll do a status check on how we're doing in terms of are we focusing on the right topics. We'll do a quick status check mid-course, end of February. I wanted to get our conversation flowing today. Today's focus is on new GTLD strings and the introduction of new GTLDs. And I wanted to get, I have, I guess, two specific goals that I'm looking to achieve out of our discussion today and what I would consider success in our working group. One is that we, as a working group, sufficiently explore the policy issues with regard to the introduction of new GTLD strings, particularly the IDN-related areas. That's one important measure of did we do our job. But the other outcome I would like to see is for us as a working group to put out in our report a document that says that as a working group we have broad agreement on certain specific principles or policy recommendations to be made into the GNSO Council as it pertains to the introduction of new GTLD strings. Now, in prior calls, on the 23rd and 30th telephone calls, we had discussed that there was perhaps the beginning of broad agreement on certain areas. For example, there was the beginnings of broad agreement on a principle or a recommendation that neither new GTLDs nor IDN GTLDs should be delayed due to the other, that one should not be held hostage to the other. Now, Mike Rodenbaugh from the business constituency, he had chimed in and he had said he did not agree with that, that in fact he thought it should be held hostage and that new GTLDs should be held hostage to IDN GTLDs, that there is a, he thought there was a higher, brighter cause for IDN GTLDs to come out the chute first, rather than just a plain vanilla ASCII normal string. I don't know what to call it. They're all ASCII GTLDs, but non-IDN GTLDs. The second area that seemed to get some broad support was that when there are applications for new GTLD strings, that those new strings should not in some way attempt to usurp an IDN GTLD string. A classic example is potentially someone attempting to get as a new GTLD string .espana, espana, in regular ASCII, which would then preempt España accented. So those were two immediate areas where there seemed to be broad agreement, but I'd like to, I'm recapping these so that we can then open up for a further discussion. In the area of general support, just to recap, there seemed to be support, and I mean support in the following definition. Support means that there is some gathering of positive opinion for the position, but competing positions may exist, and really we cannot say that there is broad agreement for that position. There seemed to be some support in our working group that in the review for the new GTLD strings, should there be a review of IDN GTLD strings, that perhaps one of the important criteria, a criterion to be applied, is distance from ASCII. In other words, for example, an IDN GTLD string that is represented in a right-to-left script ought to be prioritized higher in the evaluation than a string that is not so. The last area where I would like to say I think there was some level of support was that all new IDN GTLD rollouts should include some sort of a period that allows protection for intellectual property right holders, and how it should be done and what methodology it should be done by. We have some suggestions from our some working group members that the actual mechanisms ought to be deferred to either the reserved names working group or other working groups outside of the IDN working group. So these are the four general areas that we've actually had some level of discussion and debate. I'd like to open the floor. This is really the early discussions, but today's goal is to kind of talk reasonably exhaustively about the introduction of new GTLD strings. I also acknowledge the presence of Sophia, Summer Austin, and Hong Zi on the call. Thank you for joining.
Hello.
Thanks.
So I'd like to leave it at this point to all of you to open up a discussion. We'll follow the normal rules. If you have something to say, please ask to be in a queue, and we'll just go down a queue. Don't all of you speak at once?
Mr. Chair, this is Sophia.
Sophia, you have the floor.
I just came in. I wanted to ask, are you using the last slides that you used from the past calls? Are we on that, or are we just going on the new GTLD discussion?
We're going directly into the new GTLD discussion, Sophia. There is not a new slide for today's meeting, mostly because we've gone through the major documents that we were supposed to go and review.
I got it. No problem. Thank you. You just spoiled us with slides, that's what.
Okay, this is Werner. I would like to be in the queue.
Werner, you're in the queue and you have the floor.
Okay. The first is a discussion about whether or not the ASCII GTLDs and the IDN GTLDs should have a relationship towards one another in terms of when the respective processes should be allowed to proceed. And I remember Mike Wilmoth's comment. He said, no, IDN should have priority, but actually he said as a reason for that we don't really need new GTLDs, therefore let us give priority to IDN. And that sounds to me like a little bit of a problem. You know, first of all, who are we to say that there's no need for new GTLDs? Secondly, processes are not identical. It is such that we can keep the two open to one another in the sense that we can say a new GTLD process would include IDN, but we cannot preclude on the ability to introduce a given IDN TLD. There may be very well differences between the ability to introduce one IDN TLD compared to another IDN TLD. And we cannot say, hey, now everybody should actually wait because we want to be sure that we can introduce a given IDN TLD for, let's say, one of the newly added languages in Unicode. That will probably not be realistic and would have to wait for the next 10 years. So the idea should certainly be that the new GTLD round would be one that is open for IDN TLDs and where we could certainly accept applications for IDN TLDs even if the respective process has not been finished in terms of the technical feasibility, but we would still count it as an application for a TLD. And any considerations of confusability or contention would actually be handled in a way that does not give an advantage to either IDN or ASCII.
Thank you, Werner.
You put Harry in the queue, please.
Harry, have the floor.
And you have also one in the queue.
You are. You're in the queue as well.
Edmund as well.
Who is that?
Edmund.
Edmund, okay. I have two comments. The one is somewhat forward-looking. We are going to have to refine our terminology. All strings in the DNS are ASCII strings. There is no such thing as a non-ASCII string in the DNS. And what we're talking about is correlates to these strings that when we say IDN are represented with characters outside the ASCII repertoire. But there's something else that I notice being confused, and I note this from correspondence that I have with people who are expressing concerns about the issues we're addressing, and that is it is entirely possible to have a TLD label, to want a TLD label that is clearly derived from some language other than English, but doesn't require any other characters than ASCII in order to represent it. And I suspect there's some confusion here between the desire to have a TLD that is meaningful in some language and to have a TLD that is meaningful in some language and needing Unicode characters in order to express it. Actually, that's also sloppy terminology. ASCII characters are Unicode characters as well.
Harry, I think you have a valid point. If I look back at our charter and I look back at why this working group has been formed, it's not for discussion necessarily of assuming. So the way I would explain, I interpret it as follows: assuming that there is a string in some that represents some language that then would have to be converted to XN dash dash something or the other. My assumption is that we are here to discuss the introduction of such strings as a top-level label.
Well, I can give you an example I can actually illustrate immediately why it is that I'm raising this issue. And that's one of the GTLD registries, the .travel registry, wished the attention of this group to be called to one aspect of the prior rights consideration, that there is a label that belongs to a sponsoring organization, and there is some expectation that other language variants of that label will also belong to the same sponsoring organization. And the things that are listed in exemplification of this is, for instance, in .travel, this is a communication sent to me, again, to be read into the record here. For instance, in .travel, the sponsor of .travel should have the right to other names such as .horizon or .voyage, which are the German and French correlates to travel, but neither of these require anything more than the ASCII repertoire for representation. So it is clear that it is not clear the extent to which the IDN discussion is focused exclusively on labels that are registered in an XN dash dash form. Or should be focused on that.
I'm not a French speaker, but I do not know if voyage in French has any accent.
Well,
differentiates it from a standard
application. Can I just announce myself, Marilyn Cade? My apologies for joining late.
Marilyn, thank you.
This is all of I can just confirm that it has no accents. It works perfectly fine to say voyage in ASCII.
It's actually quite a valid concern here, without commenting on the right to a label aspect of this. The expectation of the availability of IDN TLDs is that there will be clear language association other than to English. But that, again, doesn't require the use of non-ASCII characters.
Thank you, Kerry. If folks have comments or questions on this, what I would like to do is have those comments occur now before we go to Yoav on for his comments.
This is Olaf. Could I have a quick comment? I think at an earlier stage we tried to develop some kind of terminology, trying to call, to talk about the source script string. Source script service script, it's it appears to for the end user. And maybe that's a useful distinction to make in our further writings.
So if I paraphrase what you're saying, Olaf, you're saying the definition of an IDN is a label that has a reference to a source script other than one used for English?
Oh, that would be stretching it. I think we shouldn't dive too deeply into that definition, because even English can use other than letter digit hyphen characters. So I think just to make the notion that we're talking about source script strings in
Hello.
Other scripts, or where other characters than those appearing in ASCII appear.
John, can you put me back in the queue, please, Ron? It's Terry.
Terry, is this on this topic or?
Yes, it's specifically on this topic. It's a point of clarification here, and that is that the terminology is being developed in the context of the protocol review, and I can tell you what the likely terminology is going to be, and it differs radically from what we are busy using here.
Why don't you illuminate?
Well, okay, an IDN requires two associated labels. One of them is the Unicode form, which is called a U label, and the other is the ASCII coded equivalent of that, which is called the A label. And the difference between what we're calling an IDN label and just a plain vanilla label is the fact that an IDN label does exist in two forms with separate kinds of policies attaching to each. And a non-IDN label is what you see is what you get situation.
So in this definition, Carrie, Voyage would not qualify as an IDN.
That's correct. No. By this definition, it would not. That's the concern that I'm raising, is that our own constituency has some expectation of this group discussing the issue of translated equivalents to existing PLD labels without realizing that our specific mandate is indeed translated equivalents of existing labels, new labels, but only such as exist in the twinned U label, A label form.
Terry, it's Marilyn. Mom, can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
I'm not exactly sure that actually your constituency is the only ones that have an expectation of this kind of examination.
Actually, when I said constituency in this context, I meant the GNSO, our constituency.
I just wanted to say that business users, these kinds of discussions are very important to have. And I would just also say, I'm no longer a counselor, but I would just say that prudence would lead me to comment that the purpose of a working group may also include the identification of topics that are not thoroughly examined, Rom, under a statement of work for a working group, but may need to be elucidated.
Understood.
Okay.
Thank you, Marilyn.
Thank you.
And thank you, Carrie, for your clarification. Are there any other comments on this topic, which I'm going to kind of paraphrase as, what is an IDN? You know, the terminology, what is the definition of an IDN?
To help you.
Hey, Ron, this is Tina in the queue.
Okay, Tina, you have the floor.
I just didn't get what the result of the discussion was, and I was thinking if we could just go ahead and use the terminology that Terry referred to, which is coming out of the protocol revision, because I think I think we could probably send something on that around to the committee members or this working group members. And the reason why I would like to do that is because I think it's really important that we use the same terminology across different working groups in different areas so that we know exactly what it is that we talk about. The discussion around what's an IDN compared to languages and so forth, I think, makes things a little bit confused. recommendations to use the terminology that's already out there from the technical side and use that over in the policy side as well.
Okay. What does the working group think of Tina's recommendation that we adopt the definitions used for the protocol working group?
It's Marilyn. I'd like to get
Edmund would like to talk to you about that.
I have a comment on that too. Sophia.
Marilyn, Sophia. Okay.
I think that I would like to propose that in agreeing to that we put it in square brackets and examine whether there are any consequences we haven't thought about. Tina, I'm not opposed to it, but I'm not able to, on the fly, say that will give me enough footnotes which explain things. But if we agree to make it a working approach and just validate that it works as we go further into this, then I'm comfortable with it as a working approach with the opportunity to elaborate on it if necessary.
Thank you, Marilyn.
So, Ram, Tina, back in the queue.
Okay. Sophia, you're next.
Yeah. I was kind of a little concerned, actually, when Carrie noted that he was using the protocol review, and I think I'm not familiar with the protocol review, and then I appreciate that Tina suggested that it goes around the group, so we have a further handling of what that is, because I think this is an area, it's very, very important, the perceived view of what IDN is and what the protocol mandates. I think adapting something without due diligence discussion would be not a good idea. So I would go for the review of it. What Marilyn suggested was excellent.
Understand. So if I had to paraphrase what you're saying, you'd agree that we should accept it. At the same time, as a working group, take upon ourselves to examine the definition, make it a working definition, and validate the definition and make sure that if there are items that are not, that it doesn't currently encapsulate, that we would like to see encapsulated, that we would then decide what to do about it.
That's it. Excellent.
Thank you. Tina?
Thank you. A couple of things. First of all, the review of the protocol has been underway for quite some time, and there are some working groups out there that, and this lies within the IETF, right? That's what the IETF is doing. They do protocol and standard definitions, and they're reviewing the protocol right now. The protocol was also developed by the IETF, so just a little bit of background there. And, we could send out to, if this working group members don't know that that's going on and does not know the details of it, then I think, I'll offer to send around the latest documents on that, its internet drafts, so that can be reviewed by this working group members. I think that's really important work.
Thank you, Tina. We'll take you up on that. Olaf, if you could coordinate it, Tina, and make sure that comes out.
I think Olaf already sent the stuff out to everybody. This isn't news.
Yeah, I thought it was out as well, but we can resend it. My second point around terminology and what is an IDN, I think it's really important to understand that the protocol defines what a valid IDN is. And if we are not in, so I think Marilyn was you who said that as a working terminology that would work, but we have to not be specific about it. I think we need to be very specific about it. The protocol defines what a valid internationalized domain name is. And if we're not working out from the same definition, then we're not going to reach a policy, a recommendation or conclusion that will match up against what the technology provides us. So I really think that this is a really important link to make between the technical and the policy side.
Bob, I think I need to offer a clarification.
Marilyn, you have the floor.
May I do that?
Yes, please.
I don't dispute that the protocol defines what a valid IDN is. I was raising the point that it seemed that the example we were talking about, Voyage, is not a IDN version of .voyage, is not an IDN version of .travel. I was suggesting that we need to identify
the areas that may be relevant to consider that have emerged in the examination of IDN that are not addressed in the statement of work that need to go back to the council and be highlighted as still needing examination in order to complete the full work of PDT-05 and the relationship to IDN.
And let me just jump in here. I think that, Marilyn, what you're saying is both a valid point. I think there is some agreement about it. And I think perhaps Tina's point is that has I guess, less to do with that and more to do with the let's accept the definition in square brackets, but then modify it if you need to down the road. And I'm paraphrasing you, Tina.
Yeah, but it's Marilyn again. I'm not. I think there's a way to accommodate what both Sophia and I were suggesting without invalidating the integrity of the points that Tina was making.
Ram, can I just sort of make a comment there?
Sure.
Sophia. Well, the clarification I probably asked back to Tina is, are you suggesting that the protocol, we get familiar with it so we could have the same working knowledge or definition points when we talk to, between different groups, or are you saying that it is not something we can modify or amend, it's an already an adapted protocol and we just need to be familiar with it? Those two are different concepts, I think.
Can you put Carrie in the queue, please, on? Okay, Carrie and Tina.
Yeah, which one? Did you want me to reply first?
Yeah, sure. Since that was a direct question to you, Tina.
Yeah, okay, either way is fine, though. So I think first of all, I think it's important for anybody who has anything to do with IDN to read the material for the protocol revision. I don't think it's necessary to participate in it. It is a highly technical and linguistic job that's going on, and not everybody needs to take part of that, but they should know what's going on. So I'll send out the documents, the internet draft. I do want to say, though, I mean, we reviewed RFC, I think it's 4690, and that was the document that came out of the IAB, which basically discussed the different IDN issues, some of them which are policy-related and some of them which are technical-related, which prompted the protocol revision. So I think understanding at least that RFC, you know, is really important. Now, we already went through it, Ram, so, you know, Sophia asked me, and I guess I'm passing the question partly on to you as well. But the terminology, I think we need to take the terminology out of that work and use that in our work so that we have a complete link between those two different initiatives.
Thank you, Tina. Carrie?
Two things. I feel as though I'm almost starting to sound like a needle stuck in a broken record, scratched record, that the protocol revision, which is indeed a technical issue, needs to attain some degree of maturity before the policies that attach to the implementation of the revised protocol can be exhaustively discussed. And I know the way that statement is reacted to, so I won't belabor that, but the salient thing that you need to recognize about this revision is that it will result in two changes to the available, to the characters available for use in IDN, the one being the reduced availability of some symbols that are not used in written language, and the other is the availability of characters that are used in written language that are not currently available. So there will be a shift. There'll be a general reduction in the number of characters that are available, but what remains once that has happened will be generally more useful for the language requirements of the peoples of our planet. That also, I was capable of triggering the
Carrie, let me just add on that in our last week's call, we did go through 4690 in some length, and some of these are listed there, but that direction is continuing.
Yeah, 4690 was not enormously well received throughout the technical community, and there are successive documents which are in advanced stages of
authorship at the moment. So there's going to be another set of informational statements released, and we're now at the stage where some of the actual protocols, the descriptions of specific protocol changes are also maturing. All of this is being discussed on the IETF update list, which this group has been given the address to, and we can give it to you again. So if you're interested in following the protocol development, this is not taking place in some cabal someplace, but is being discussed and debated openly, and anybody who wishes to provide input to that process is more than welcome to do so.
Thank you, Kerry. Yoav, you have the floor.
Yes, I want to take us back to the priority issue of IDNs versus the new ASCII TLDs, and I want to say that, first of all, I personally am not sure whether or not we need any new ASCII top-level domains. We still have a few that were launched in the past and did not succeed too much. Just look at the .pro, and there are many implications for having new top-level domains that are not specifically with some new intention that we didn't cover till now. But anyway, my belief is that the position of having that what you said before, that we can have move forward with the GTLDs, new GTLDs, and the IDN GTLDs in a way that it won't affect each other, it's okay. But I think we should recommend that there would be some kind of priority. It's not a priority in the sense of which should come first. If we have five applications, whether we should approve a new ASCII one before a new IDN one, but more on the level of resources, on ICANN constituency and ICANN staff and ICANN as a whole, resources. I think that the world, the people that are using the internet, need IDN much more and much and before any new GTLDs are coming on. So when it comes to resources, then the IDN TLDs should have a priority. I don't think that it should be in a kind of a policy measure, but more in a resources measure. And so that's my point. I think it's a little different than what we talked about till now, and I'll be happy to hear other views.
Yoav, thank you. Just for clarity's sake, since we are talking about IDN versus ASCII, I'd like to suggest that going forward, we talk about IDN GTLDs versus non-IDN GTLDs, that we define it in terms of IDN rather than in terms of IDN versus ASCII. Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Yoav, if I could then paraphrase what I heard you say, you're suggesting that perhaps in the new GTLD round that when presented with a choice of evaluating an IDN GTLD application or a non-IDN GTLD application, ICANN should exercise allocate a higher priority of evaluation for IDN GTLDs.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Is there any discussion on this topic?
Well, this is Hong. Can I be in the queue?
Hong, you're in the queue and you have the floor.
Okay, thanks. I'm also interested in this priority issue. But before that, I have a question. On our wiki page, there is a working definition on IDN GTLDs. It means with a label that contains at least one character, not a pairing in the LDH set. So it is still the working definition that we are using for our discussion?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
Until we modify it.
All right. Okay. Then let's go back to the priority issues. In my understanding and from the discussion in our list, it seems that the priority issues is primarily to tackle the problem, the potential problem of visually confusing screens. An IDN GTLD will be visually confusing with the pre-existing non-IDN GTLDs, that should be taken into account. However, if we are going to extend our consideration into translation issues, I'd assume they will be very, very troublesome. And it will be very hard to define the borderline of the priority rights. Stop travel can be translated as Leise in German, another word in French, but it can be translated into other terms as well. What will be the borderline? I don't believe that should be addressed in our policy.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your last sentence.
My last sentence is that if the priority, I'm hesitant to use the word hate, if the priority is going to be established, it should be extended to the meaningful transmission. It should be limited to the visual confusing issue.
I think that we were talking about two different issues. I was talking about...
I was going to say the same thing. I'd like to offer the following observation that when Yoav was making a point about priority, it was not about priority rights, but rather I viewed it as a suggestion that evaluation of an IDN GTLD in the next round should be more resources should be allocated to that than to non-IDN GTLD.
Yeah. Which should come first in ICANN's priorities of issuing and evaluating and issuing.
Right. I think Hong, you are bringing up really a third point here and an important one, which is, should translation of an existing GTLD string, does that string have priority rights? And then there is a related topic of whether existing registrants in an existing non-IDN GTLD string, what their priority rights are. And I think you've established you expressed your opinion that you don't think those... there should not be priority rights as such, and that the only area where you believe there should be some consideration is the issue of visually confusing strings.
Mike Roden, Ball joins.
Thank you, Mike.
I'm just Tina back in the queue.
Okay, Tina is in the queue.
Carrie's in the queue, but
Marilyn in the queue, Carrie in the queue, and I'm assuming that all of you are in the queue for this topic.
Or some version thereof.
Okay, fair enough. All right, Tina?
As far as I could tell, there's two topics, and mine is on one of them.
Yeah, if all of you could just define which one of the two, the allocation of resources for evaluation is one, and the other is priority rights.
Yeah, I think I'm on the first one. My comment was that if we don't have it yet, then probably we should have a liaison to the new GTLD introduction working group, or the PDP that runs on that, because I think some of the things that we're getting really close to discussing up against when is one string similar confused similarly or similar to another string that already exists or another string that is being applied for. That is something that is in the PDP for new GTLDs, and so we should just not try to solve that, but say, are there any specific IDN things that needed to be added to this, and if there's not, then leave that within the existing PDP. But so, comment to try to split that up, and recommendation to get a liaison to that from that working group.
This is Olaf, just a very short point of order. Recalling that we do have split up various issues and topics, this the aspects of visual confusability is not really under this on the heading of the IGN GTLDs versus non-IGN GTLDs, but it's really dealt with under another heading and actually due for discussion more in depth at a future meeting.
Thank you, Olaf. And thank you, Tina, for both the recommendation and at this point, I do not believe there is a liaison from this working group into the PDP. However, I do know that there are some members who overlap between both working groups. Marilyn.
My comment is about priority rights, and it addresses something I want to put on the table to come back and talk about, and the issue may actually belong in the GTLD.
Sounds like we've lost Marilyn. This is a an interesting phenomenon I've observed, that when people are speaking, they're more likely to be dropped off of calls. While we wait for Marilyn to come back, let's move to Kerry.
Avril Doria joins.
Avril, hi. Kerry?
I'm going to speak
Hello.
About the conceptual...
Hello.
Marilyn, hi. We just recognized that you got dropped off the call. Kerry
Actually,
is making
I didn't.
Point.
I was able to hear you guys the entire time, but anyway.
Oh, interesting. Then why don't you continue, please?
Sorry.
Kerry, sorry.
I was just saying that I want to flag the topic of discussion of the treatment of sponsored names. It may belong in the new GTLD PDP, but here's the topic. The business constituency has strongly supported the idea that there are unique issues and aspects of sponsored GTLDs that when a community comes together and creates the community that then sponsors a GTLD, that there has to be recognition of the characteristics of that community and that it generally will span geography and maybe even language. So I'm not proposing that there, at this point, is an absolute rule. I'm proposing that the question of how should sponsored, community-sponsored GTLDs, where there is, in fact, a sponsoring community, and how that relates to IDNs, confusingly similar, et cetera. But those questions do need to be explored with some responsible consideration, either by this group or by the new GTLD PDP task force.
Thank you, Marilyn. Kerry?
I note that we are constantly revisiting issues that are either not supposed to be our concern or that we don't quite differentiate from closely related issues. And I think that the notion of confusability, I mean, the ways in which two strings might be similar, can either be graphic, they can be phonetic, or they can be semantic. And if there are any one of these three things that we can simply agree is not the primary focus of our discussion, perhaps we can stop from revisiting it over and over again.
Kerry, do you have a recommendation?
Yes, I do, actually. I think that the phonetic thing probably simply cannot be an issue on any level of this discussion. And that might disappear. The semantic thing is, I think, the overriding concern. The graphic confusability is what the protocol initiative is intended to reduce. So the notion of two strings that look confusingly similar, we may need to discuss, but that is the thing that we should probably be deferring until we know what the protocol constraints are. And this business about meaning, that my string means the following and I have a right to any other version of the string that means the same thing. that probably is the most fruitful policy issue to be focusing on. It's also by far the broadest of the issues, and it clearly does overlap with other working groups, but I think there's some component of it that we might want to work our own way through.
Thank you, Kerry. Any comments on Kerry's recommendation?
It's Mike Rodenbaugh.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm not clear of exactly what the premise is behind Kerry's comments there. I'm sorry that I joined late, so perhaps I missed some context.
Let me very quickly catch you up. We're discussing priority rights. This topic came up when we were speaking about priority rights, and Hong
right.
Du made a point that the priority should be to tackle the issue of visually confusing strings, and that the discussion should not move to translation issues or translation of existing strings. Tina then suggested perhaps that our working group needed a liaison to the PDP 05, that working group, because that working group is focused specifically on new GTLD strings.
Right.
And Marilyn, there was another topic brought up, which was that sponsored TLDs have some special needs and should be considered, potentially should be considered specially because they have a sponsoring community that is supporting it. And then one of the points that Kerry made was that the notion of confusability could be separated into three areas of confusability: graphic, phonetic, or semantic. And Kerry's suggestion to us as a working group is that our working group should not bother about either phonetic or graphic. Phonetic because it should not be our concern. Graphic because the protocol is intended to reduce confusability, and that perhaps our committee, our working group, should focus its broad discussion on semantic confusability of existing strings.
Okay. That's essentially what I gathered, but thank you very much, Ron. As I stated in my email, and I think Kerry pretty much tracked what I said on that, the three categories of confusing similarity that we deal with as businesses, I think actually all of those issues are probably better in the new TLD working group that's been commission to specifically address IP rights. I'm not sure why the IDN working group really needs to deal with any of those, at least not exclusively, that's for sure.
So Mike, you're recommending that the IDN working group should not discuss confusability and should pass that on to the PDP 05.
Unless we think that we're the more appropriate body to deal with it all, I certainly don't think it makes sense to deal with it piecemeal.
Ram, I think I have a comment on that.
Okay,
Sophia.
Ram, you're off here. I want to be in.
You're off? Okay, you're in the queue. Sophia.
Yeah. Suppose being a non-English speaking and speaking several languages, I don't know if I can take that as a piecemeal or if I can see the confusing similarities to be a non-IDN issue. I'm going to put a top-level domain name of IDN. Really, one of the biggest issues so far we've been discussing has been confusingly similar in different languages. So I don't know if somebody can convince me that that's not an IDN-related issue and it should just be done at the PDP level where we don't have the experts for actually discussing this particular IDN-related topics. I don't know how we're going to solve them. Maybe I'm missing something. Thank you.
I'd like to rejoin the queue, please. Mike Rodenbaugh.
Okay, Mike. Yoav, you're next.
Yes. I have something I want to say and also ask something to clarify from Kerry. First of all, regarding the protocol, that you said that should take care of the graphic problem, or I think on the list it was called typographic confusing names. How exactly would the protocol take care of that in cases like there was something on the list, an example shown on Cyrillic letters with that look like K-O-M, that are physically similar with the COM. Is there something in the protocol that should take care of this case?
You may have misunderstood me, or I may not have expressed myself particularly clearly. Protocol revision is intended to reduce the scope of graphics confusability. It cannot possibly eliminate it. And what the protocol can do is see to it that on a script level, there are comfortably few remaining problems. Policies enter into this on the language level, which is an absolutely essential component of this. And the language-based policies have to be implemented on the registry level. There is no other way that this can be done. The protocols operate on the properties of on Unicode character properties. And Unicode only recognizes script. It does not recognize language. There's nothing that can be operated on. Thank you, Gary.
Ram, this is Tina. Can I add something to that?
Okay. Okay. You want to add to Gary? Because I want to
continue my question.
I can't hear that.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm hearing a lot of turbulence on the phone. I don't know if anybody else is able to hear what's being said.
No.
Whoever just spoke, we cannot hear you.
Not at all.
So, Ram, I was just asking if you could add me to the queue or if I could make a comment to what Kerry was saying.
You know, since it sounds like you're adding on to what Kerry was saying, why don't you speak? And then, Yoav, I heard that you had a redirect on what Kerry was saying.
Yeah.
So we'll get you there, and then I want to get to Mike.
Okay, so I just wanted to add on to the fact that something is managed in the protocol, and Kerry said that not everything can be handled in the protocol. Something has to be a policy decision. Some of that is already in the new GTLD policy development process, and that's where I wanted to make sure that we link in so that we add on to their work and not duplicate it.
Thank you, Tina. You off?
Okay. Yeah, I have another question to tell you, because I agree that we cannot get into phonetics. I think that the only issue is the graphical issue. I agree with Hong on this, and it's not clear to me, and this is another question I have to you, Carrie. When you're saying let's deal with the semantics, can you give me a few examples? Are you talking like this Voyage example or
yes,
other?
So,
Voyage would be an example of the semantic issue, because there is no technical definition or protocol definition that says that Voyage is linked to travel.
Yeah. Okay. So. I want to state that I believe that this is something that on this issue, on this semantic, we can talk about it. Okay. We can try and think each one say what it has. My opinion specifically is that this is something that we should not consider as confusingly similar. This would apply for .biz, just like when it was allowed. If you compare it to the .com, there's no much difference, and I think that that we should not get there. And the main issue is the main confusion that we need to take care of is the graphical one. I think we should, because as you said, Carrie, the protocol won't be able to solve all cases, so we should say a few things about the graphical issue, like taking care of the .com with the Cyrillic KOM. In these cases, that these are things that we should prevent, and that's it. I think this is the only point that we should consider in our discussion.
Thank you, Yoav. One of the things I'd like to just follow back with you, Yoav, is when you say we should focus on graphical, I'm wondering whether you have thoughts on what it is that you think we should focus on inside of graphical in the policy area. Should we actually come up with some policy thoughts, or should we merely send an exhortation to ICANN and to registries stating that in the area of graphical confusability, a caution ought to be exercised? What do you have in mind?
I think that we should have some general statement on how this should be taken care of, and maybe some examples should be shown, because examples are solving, showing the problem in the best way. And this example, I am getting back to it, this Cyrillic example is great, is with the KOM. This is an example which is, it's clear for everyone, I think, that this is a kind of a TLD that should not be provided to anyone, because it will be really confusing. So these are the kind of examples that we should show. I think there are some examples that might come from overlapping from Chinese and Korean. I'm not sure exactly about that. I know that I've seen in the past, I've seen some examples of overlaps between
Maria Sorrow joins.
Between these languages, and so I think we should give some examples and generally say that this is an issue. This is an issue that should be considered and avoided. Avoided when we are going to allow a new IDN to pop up in the domain.
Thank you,
I'm
sorry, I had two people asking to be in the queue. I'm happy to add you both, but I couldn't hear either.
Okay, there was Marie. This is Aubrey. I was adding something that there before.
I already have you in the queue after Mike.
Oh, and Ron, this is Tina back in the queue.
Okay, Tina's back in the queue. All right. I'm going to put myself in the queue, Tina, after you.
Hi, this is William Tan. I'm sorry, I just joined.
William, welcome. We're in the middle of a good
meeting.
Discussion. Happy to have you on the call. Mike, you have the floor.
Okay, yeah, just to respond to Sophia and what Yoav just said, it's a valid point. Clearly it's an issue, confusing similarity with IDNs. I just think that it's an equally valid point as to non-IDNs, and therefore it might be better resolved by that task force at the PDP level. Sophia raises a point that suggests there's a lack of experts or something. If that's the case, then maybe we can change that. I don't know. I would not want to see this working group waste time on issues that are also being resolved by that task force.
Fair enough. And Mike, I'd also like to suggest or bring back Tina's excellent suggestion that perhaps this working group offer a liaison to the PDP working group.
Absolutely.
That address some of Sophia's concerns.
I want to comment on that, you have, so do you want me to do it now? Or
yeah, jump right in.
Okay, so I want to say, look, one of the main issues, let's be very frank here, okay? One of the main issues in this whole IDN policy is whether or not the incumbent registries are going to get the equivalence for their top-level domains in other languages, okay? This is one of the main issues. Now, we can get to this point in many, many other ways. Okay, in many ways. One would be the aliasing issue that was raised, and one could be this priority rights issue. Okay, now if you take this discussion to another working group, I think this it would be wrong, because this is a clear IDN issue. Because my opinion, and I've said it before in other places, that if VeriSign is gonna get the .com in all other languages, then this whole IDN thing will not work, because no local communities will let it happen. this will be a very, very big mistake. So we can try and find all kinds of ways and all kinds of excuses to say this is a very, very important issue and we should discuss it and try to find ways to pull this thing in. But this is an issue of an IDN. This is not a, something that is not in the in the scope of IDN top level domains. I think that if we're discussing it, we if someone discusses it, we should discuss it.
Ron, it's Marilyn. I want to be in the queue, please.
Okay, Marilyn, you're in the queue.
Can I be in the queue? It's home.
Hong, you're in the queue. Okay, Avery. You are. Thank you. And I think that was a particularly telling set of comments. Certainly interested in the actions that our group has to it.
Yeah.
Avery, you're in the queue. And you have the...
Okay, thank you. I must admit that I got a little confused with the last set of comments as to maybe I didn't understand what topic we were on. I think we were still talking about confusingly similar, and then we were talking about scripts to do, and then there was conversations about Cyrillic letters in the middle of, you know, other characters. And one of the was sort of at least intended was the mix as a policy rule. So if that's not the case, then I'm curious why it's not. And I would think that that would take care of those where script has a different lookalike character. Certainly the confusingly similar stands out. Now, when it comes to the protocol, and I was the one that was trying to talk when nobody could understand me, the protocol, as I understand it now, the rework of the protocol is, first of all, not even close to being a complete. It's something that's still being envisioned. I think that, yes, there is a certain amount of consideration of a policy in the protocol and having the protocol prohibit certain things. And once they're encoded in the protocol, then, yes, they're no longer policies. There's been trade-offs that are now part of the protocol. I think that that's not decided yet either. So I think that still a certain room for discussion, and I must be uncomfortable at a point where we say the rewritten protocol will not allow such and such when the rewritten protocol is still very much under discussion.
So, Avery, you're suggesting that we should consider graphic confusability, even though we believe that the protocol might reduce it, since it's not really decided. We ought to continue to discuss graphic confusability.
Yes, because the graphic confusability comes out if we're saying the protocol should solve graphic confusability. I'm trying to say that. Why are we agreeing at this point that all graphic characters are confusing? Certainly if we include in scripts where they're confusing, then they become confusing. But if they're off either in separate scripts or somewhere else, then their confusing level becomes a different subject. And yes, the protocol can prohibit them all. The protocol is, as I understand it, going to be sort of a white list where only the things that they decide to allow in are allowed in. There really is a policy set of work being done within the protocol, which is fine, I guess, but let's not assume that it's technically unfeasible or that the protocol is already done deal.
Rob, can you put Carrie in the queue for a clarification about what exactly is being changed with the protocol?
Okay, Carrie. Terry, you have the floor.
Oh, I do. Okay. The initial IDN protocol, with very few exceptions, simply looks at the individual characters in the Unicode form of an IDN, and it's therefore not capable of recognizing the commingling, to use a registry term, of elements from different scripts. And one of the key aspects of this revision is that the IDN protocol needs to look at entire labels rather than just the individual characters in the label, which does make it possible to preclude combinations of characters from different scripts that serve no possible language-related useful purpose. And for the umpteenth time, the purpose of this revision is not to solve any problems. The purpose of this revision is to reduce the scope of problems. And what remains after that indeed needs to be dealt with on a policy level. And all I'm trying to suggest is that the focus of that policy effort, or the amount of energy spent on the policy discussion, can be kept to a comfortable minimum if it allows itself to be informed by the result of the protocol revision, rather than this perpetual arguing that the protocol revision is semi-meaningless anyway and nobody knows what they're doing on that front.
Can I, since that was a countering to my remark, I can counter it. First of all, I in no way said that the protocol didn't do what they were doing, et cetera. All I said is that the protocol work is making policy decisions. Now, if we're content to let them make the policy decisions as opposed to this group, fine. I guess that's the way to go. And I think it's important that the protocol group can indeed restrict within a label can look at a whole label and restrict the subject to that. All I'm saying is that we then shouldn't therefore assume that all graphic characters are therefore out of consideration, or that we want that to happen, unless we really do. And the protocol can do a lot. I'm spending a lot of time studying the protocol now and talking to the people working on it so that I can understand it and so that I'm not saying that they're incompetent. They're extremely competent people, and they are making design and design decisions which involve policy decisions.
Thank you, Aubrey.
Ram, this is Sophia. Can I add to what Aubrey's saying?
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Well, I think Aubrey has a valid concern. I say that because even when we discussed earlier about the adaption of protocol, I think one of the things that the sense I had was, and the question I asked at the time was, is it coming as an adapted policy towards us when we entertain, and when Tina suggested we're going to circulate it around, is it an information that we can work on and see if we can influence the process, or is it something just for our information only, and something that we're just using to familiarize ourselves when other working groups are talking about it? So that makes a difference from the policy point of view. If it comes down to our level or at our level with already an adapted position, that we can't do nothing about it. And that's what I think, if I'm not mistaken, Avery is saying. If it's already the policy is defined for us, what's the purpose of us trying to say, should we use, the graphics versus the phonetics, or, just like the other, the semantic or so, we should be able to define first with the available information for us before it makes sense. So I think it makes sense for us even to look at the graphics and say, I think Carrie mentioned it's a process of reduction versus elimination. I'm not sure I even understand that. At one point you mentioned that, because when you we're just reducing it, not eliminating it. It means that when you reduce something, it's already eliminated. So I don't know the difference between the two. So I think it's a valid concern that we get a chance to look at the impact on the policy. If it doesn't have an impact, we should not be concerned. But if it does have an impact, be worried about that. So I think I agree completely with Avion from that point. Thank you.
Well, if I can't find, and Carrie will correct me if I'm wrong, are characters that are being defined as never ever, and there are characters that are being defined as in. Things could be defined as, could be not yet defined as in, and therefore not usable and confusable, without being defined as never ever in list. And so there's various gradations. So things are reduced because the only characters that will be accepted are those that are defined as in. And there will be a small set of characters defined as never ever in. What I'm trying to say is that we should ask that the case of the characters never never in be kept as small as possible.
already fair enough, and I think that, to me, it sounds quite a reasonable thing to request. I'm going to move smartly on. In the queue, I have Tina, Ram, Marilyn, Hong, and then waiting patiently is Edmund on his earlier points. Tina.
Okay, so I just want to make, I think, three quick points. First of all, the protocol is revised within, and that's within the IETF. It's an open forum. Everybody on this group, everybody in the world who wish to participate in that can do that and provide input, requests, recommendations to that group. Secondly, when we talk about the technical work making policy decisions, I disagree. Technical standard developments will always make some sort of like limit, but that's because there's technical constraints. So I think that's just a very natural way for things to move forward. Third and last one is just to restate what I said about the existing PDP, because it sounds like we keep coming back to the topic of graphical or visual confusions. What probably would be helpful is if we took that piece out of the PDP for new GTLDs and said, this is what will be in the policy for new GTLDs related to visual confusion or string applications for strings that are similar or similar to existing strings or what you have. And then we need to take a look at that and then discuss, does IDNs at the top level add anything to that? Is there anything that we should inform that PDP on that we want to add because there's IDN top level domains? Regardless of whether it will make it in the first round or not, what should they add into their concerns for that piece of their PDP? And that's all.
Thank you, Tina. I actually had myself in the queue, and I wanted to speak about two things. One is this topic of existing TLDs and their rights. Now, we had had earlier discussion that that said that existing registrants, we don't believe that existing registrants have any rights in the new top level domain. Folks from the intellectual property area had opined that, hey, we should certainly ensure that there is some intellectual property protection that happens. Now, there is one area that I find very interesting, which is we have as a working group, we have general acceptance that says that we should limit IDN, GTLD, string confusion, and collision due to variance. Now, collision due to variance is, I think, quite well understood, and also it's easy enough to structure what collision due to variance is in a script-bound manner. But IDN, GTLD, string confusion, I think we have a lot of work to do here, because on the one hand, you have what the Dot Travel Registry has read into the record today, that they believe that they should have the right to Dot Voyage. And on the other hand, you have what Yoav said, which is that across the world, many, many local communities will have significant issues with having an existing registry be automatically the registry for an IDN GTLD. From my perspective, I think that perhaps the place for us to go as a working group is to say that nobody ought to be handicapped or excluded merely because they are the incumbent registry. That in fact, should .com in or its equivalent in some language, as represented in a particular script, should VeriSign the current .com registry operator, should they choose to apply for it, that there should be no restrictions against them or anybody else like that applying for it. Obviously, others would be able to apply for it as well. And there would be clearly set criteria that define what qualifies a registry operator from to actually get to run or be appropriately qualified to run a registry, any registry, not just an IDN GTLD registry.
Ram, I want just Chiyav, I want just to comment that I agree with you. I agree that we cannot exclude incumbent registries just because they are incumbent registries. Okay, this was not the point I made. I just made that automatically giving incumbent registries their equivalent in other languages will be a great, great problem. And I think, of course, if VeriSign or Afilias or any other incumbent GTLD registry wants to apply for an equivalent, or not just an equivalent, maybe other new IDN top-level domains, of course they should be allowed, but not to be provided with it automatically.
Understood. And frankly, Yoav, I was kind of expanding on that area, but I was saying I think that we would be making a mistake if we restrict anybody from applying for a TLD now. Having said that, I have had some discussions with sponsored TLDs, and they actually come back, they have expressed a serious concern, saying, hey, we have a community that actually has said that we represent them for a TLD, and we can't just and therefore the criteria for evaluating a new IDN TLD that is similar or confusingly similar to what is already a community-based TLD, that completely different and far more restrictive rules ought to apply. And I bring this to your attention because I've had a number of STLDs express this perspective that, you know, They represent that community, and that community, it doesn't matter whether it is in a Latin script or in a non or in an IDN GTLD script. So that was one point. The second point I'd like to make is the following. I think that in general, in our working group, with few exceptions, we have to. Our job is to review technical or protocol definitions as they already exist, without trying to modify what's already defined as a protocol or a protocol definition. Now, I think our job also is that if such a definition doesn't fulfill what we think we require to have happen, or let me be more clear. If we believe that a given protocol or a technical definition is incomplete from a policy perspective, then I think it's our job to identify what the gap is, to use the existing protocol definition still, and then add to it and to say that here are the policy decisions. But I do not think that we have the ability or in some cases the expertise to overrule what may already be a technical definition that has come about by a consensus-building process in something like IETF. So those are my two.
Can I in the queue ask you?
Who is that?
This is Aubrey, sorry.
Okay, Aubrey, I have you in the queue. Aubrey, was this directly in response to something I said?
Yes.
Then why don't you go ahead then?
Okay. I think I absolutely agree with you that the protocol that is created at Lloyd, we certainly can do nothing about. And we've got the protocol that we've got. Now, it's very true that a new protocol is being worked on. It will be a great improvement. There are certain people working on it now, and then eventually it'll become a working group. It'll go through a working group. It will then go through a consensus process, which has not gone through yet. And then at some point after that, it will be deployed. Once it gets a consensus policy and it's been consensus approved within the IETF or whatever other group decides to do things, you're absolutely right. At the moment, the position we're in is the current protocol. And I'll be surprised at how, you know, I'm curious to hear the projection of how quickly people think that we'll have the new protocol, the reworked protocol, deployed. And if they tell me it's quicker than 4 to 5 years, I'll be amazed.
Thank you, Aubrey. Marilyn, you have the floor now.
I think, Ron, you've addressed most of the points that I wanted to make. I did just want to, again, note that we've decided that a patent-carrying version of the sponsored name is not an IPN. That, again, the discussion of that topic doesn't long been fine. And that's what Voyage would be, as I understood from my earlier conversation. But for the rest of the
Marilyn, I must confess that it's either my old age or just wax in my ear, but I could barely hear what you were saying.
I couldn't hear either.
Huh. So I say it again?
Yes, please.
Oh, sorry. I said I think you've made many of the points I wanted to make. The one thing that I would just say is that's perhaps a bit different is, as I understand our earlier conversation, the word voyage is a Latin character translation into French of the word dot travel. So it does not meet the criteria of being an IDN, which would put it into PDP-05 task force. But for the rest of the discussion that you and Yop and others raised, I think you've identified the points that I wanted to be sure were talked about.
Thank you, Marilyn. Hong, you're in the queue now. You have the floor.
I want to talk about two points. The first one is why do we consider the issue of confusing similarity? As Ram had said that the present IDN operators shouldn't be excluded from the potential IDN DTLDs. I totally agree. This should be an open market. But another issue is, let's look at this issue from another perspective, that whether these present operators should be prioritized when they apply for a thematic IDN DTLDs. That's really a critical issue. We can have two approaches. One approach is to grant them a kind of priority rights. Rights is a positive claim, which means just other colleagues have mentioned, they will automatically be prioritized in any IDN consideration. Another approach is make this confusing similarity an element in assessment of any IDN top-level strengths. So it just means they have a positive right. Instead, they can raise this issue to oppose the confusingly similar strings in IDN strings. Right. And another point I want to talk about is the confusion categories. For graphic confusion, yes, I agree with other colleagues that it could be either resolved at the protocol level or policy level or both. I totally agree with Tina that we should be fully aware of the technical development and try to link the policy discussion with the technology. Try to be aware of the technical constraint. But as another person have talked about that, the technical result or the protocol level may not resolve all the problems. There may be gaps that need the policy to fill in. So I agree that we have a general principle that a principle to prevent these graphical confusion in our future IDN policy. For a thematic issue, I have a strong reservation for this perspective, because this is not only not a simple confusion issue. This has become a sort of confusionism. say, at present, non-IDN TTLDs, we have .com and .biz. This is an example that's been raised by our colleagues. .com and .biz, well, look at them, they're quite semantic, but they are existing, they're coexisting right now. And why we should now prevent another semantic .com, say in Korean or in Chinese? Well, in Chinese, it is .商业 or .公司. That could be a sort of translation in Chinese of .com. Would that be taking into account our policy discussion? That will be really confusing to me. Okay, that's all.
Thank you, Hong. Any comments on Hong's comments?
Well, I have comments on your comments, Sophia.
Oh, wonderful.
Allow me to.
Hong, thank you. Sophia, you have the floor.
Okay. Just going back to the comments made and Merlin supported as well, and I'm sure a lot of people do, but and the only thing I want to warn this working group and is a bit about, we don't want to leave when we define policies to play the god of the gap, as they say, you know, for having no alternative. Someone in the process will get the advantage of having the existing path or ways. Specifically, let's say, you know, I do support a market economy, so I do support not excluding the incumbents registry from participating. But what we want to do here, not only to understand the IDN issues, but this is really to form a policy. And when we say policy is, you mentioned RAM, the criteria is going to define who the winner or the loser will be in the market economy game. But the criteria we define, we're the ones who should be defining the criteria as a level playing field for
Alistair
those companies.
Jackson,
am I there?
Yeah, you're still there. Please continue. Alistair just joined. We acknowledge your presence. Continue, please, Sophia.
Okay. So we want to be able, as policymakers, to want to, you know, create a, or come up with a policy for a level playing field for both the incumbents and the local registries that are already have the IDN space, despite that, you know, some community group want to embrace a Western company because of various reasons that, you know, it could be financial, it could be whatever. Want to embrace that. There are people who have indigenously worked and they want to be economically advantaged when they, you know, when they run their businesses. So we need to be fair and equitable in our policies when we define the criteria. So the criteria is to be met, fine, but that's where the sensitive issue is. And I think that's one of the reasons we're creating policy over IDNs. It's not to just give generic policy statements. Ram, you've done business in emerging economies, and I have done so. You know, the government fills the gap in trying to protect the local economy from, you know, from being haunted or having the economic colonization, as they call it in the West. So, you know, we are talking to the gap. I'm sure they will have an influence somehow in the process. But again, when we set the policies, we want to have that level playing field. And what are those? Those are have to be specific and has to be understood by the Western companies as well. This is the critical issue, and I think you have touched upon it when he mentioned the overall process. So I think, hope you understand. Thank you.
Thank you, Sophia. We now move to Edmund.
Wow, I haven't been forgotten. I actually just wanted to make a couple of observations that was discussed way early. We talked about that we had some sort of agreement on neither the point about neither new GTLDs nor IDN GTLDs should be delayed due to the other. However, you Ronnie mentioned, and actually we had a bit of discussion earlier, that there's interest of actually giving IDN GTLD applications some priority. My feeling is that these two conflict each other. Actually, Ram, you pointed that out as well. So as a group, if we are going to make a certain recommendation or whatever comes out of the group, we need to actually discuss and make a decision on whether we adopt the first or the other. Because if we give priority to IDN GTLDs, and it looks like there are still technical issues that need to be solved, and we really do not have a fixed timeline for resolving those issues, we will be delaying the new GTLD process if we give priority to IDN GTLD applications. That's one observation. The other one was that the item on number two, which is new GTLD should not preempt IDN GTLD, that the particular example given was España, versus the one without accent. It would be, I suppose it's a good suggestion. However, it may be very difficult to identify. And if we adopt this as a policy, we need to figure out how to actually deploy or enforce it, and who we involve to identify whether a particular string is trying to preempt an IDN GTLD. I mean, some of the languages may not be familiar by generally the community, and a preempt may or may not be intentional. Those were my two observations. Hello? Am I still there?
Yeah, it went very quiet. I hear you.
You're still there. Thank you, Edmund. And I would like to bring the first issue back to the fore for discussion in our working group now. Last week in the call, I had made a bold draft conclusion that there is broad agreement in our working group, agreement enough that I could add it into our final document as an area where we generally agree that new GTLDs and IDN GTLDs, one should not delay the other. In other words, one should not be held hostage to the other. I heard objections to that last week, and I'm very keen on hearing the working group's point of view on this now, because I would like to, I think it is one of our responsibilities to report back to the council and say, we believe that it should be one way or the other, or that we are split on this topic. I have actually heard one dissenting comment to the new GTLDs. IDN GTLDs should not hold non-IDN GTLDs hostage. But I'd like to open it up briefly for discussion.
Edmund as well.
Mike, Marilyn, and Edmund.
And Yoav.
And Aubrey.
Aubrey, and who was the fourth?
Yoav.
Sophia.
Yoav, okay. Thank you.
Sophia, can you hear me?
Sophia, thank you. Okay, Mike.
I assume you're referring to my comments last week, so I won't necessarily repeat them. But, you know, other than to say that I do think that IDNs should be prioritized over non-IDN new TLDs, simply because I think they're more important to the community, and it would be a good incentive to get a lot of brain power in the community to figure out these issues on IDN, get it done for once. Other than that, I think generally, though, that this issue, you know, I understand what you're saying, Ron, that the working group can make a recommendation to the council, but you know, the reality is that this is up to the council to decide whether things are prioritized or not.
Thank you, Mike. Marilyn?
Well, I am going to say that I think this is a false choice on our part.
Marilyn, I'm sorry. I'm having the same problem.
Sorry. I really think this is a false choice on our part. I think someone made the reference earlier that might be more supportable, and that is that we should ensure, you see, it's very feasible that we could work out most of the issues, but not all of the issues, and to say that we would put a round of Latin character TLDs completely on hold and wait for certain other technical conclusions to be reached, I don't know how politically sustainable that is. I think if we made a comment about ensuring a prioritization of resources so that lack of resources do not hold up the resolution of issues related to IDNs, and we also took into account any safe harbors that need to be provided, then that would be a more responsible approach. But I don't know that politically it's sustainable to say we're going to hold up Latin characters until we solve all issues in IDNs. Again, prioritization of resources is a different issue, and I think it's much more politically supportable.
Thank you, Marilyn. Edmund?
Sorry, I put myself on mute. In terms of the particular item that I actually brought up, I guess my personal opinion is that what you've put out, I agree that neither the new GTLD or IDN GTLDs should delay one another. And I also wanted to add that in the coming round of new GTLDs, IDN GTLD applications should be accepted. However, as we go along the evaluation of all the applications, we should not delay any particular evaluation simply because IDN GTLD technical issues or technical policy issues have not been resolved yet. So to continue to evaluate those that are non-IDN applications, and as we have the IDN GTLD policies and technical policies ready, we will, you know, treat them equally from there on. That would be my suggestion or opinion on the matter.
Thank you, Edmund. Aubrey?
Okay, yeah, thanks. I guess in some ways I fall very close between Edmund and Marilyn on this. I do not believe that anything should be halted. I believe that this should be given to IDN. And I also believe, as Edmund said, that the application should be accepted. I'm saying Marilyn didn't say that this wasn't included. Be accepted because of the mechanism in the TLDs that will basically check for identical applications. We want to make sure that we put a barrier in people applying for something, the unencoded ASCII, that would be a preemption to something that would be confusing in a so we don't want to give the non-IDN an advantage, and to do that we have to basically accept the applications and do the evaluations, but by the same token we don't want to slow down the non-IDN while all the I's are being dotted and T's are being crossed on the policies
for IBM, which is a more complex problem at the moment than the non-IBM.
Thank you, Aubrey. You off?
Yes, I just wanted to kind of clarify what I said before. I still think that we should not, as you said, we don't need to have either IBM TLDs or new TLDs to be held hostage in both ways, but I think that we should state, and I think this is one of the agendas of this working group, that if it comes that there are no delays, and I don't think that the technical issues are such that are going to delay in years or the IBM top level domains. So we should clearly state that, again, as I said, in case it comes to a point where we are able to get applications for both, then IBM top level domains in terms of allocating resources of ICANN should be given a priority. I agree with Mike and that the community needs IBM top level domains more than new DTLDs.
Thank you. You off? Sophia.
Yes. I think I will tend to agree and go with the group that's recommending priority as IVN. Again, this is the working group, like you all say, that's what we are here for, and I would support that. And perhaps the solution might be to even have a percentage how many people want IVN, not people actually, to define on a percentage level how many percent, maybe 90% IDN and 10% the other. So that's just an approach that I would support definitely the need for IDN because I am the one who recommended this working group, so I know the need for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sophia. I put myself at the end of this queue, and the reason is because I would like to suggest a draft draft position, and the draft position would say something to the effect of, while neither new GTL, and this is just we can wordsmith it on the working list on the mailing list, but the general position that I hear you all say is the following: while neither new GTLDs nor IDN GTLDs should be delayed due to the other, ICANN should prioritize its resources towards the evaluation of IDN GTLDs so as to support the need of language communities worldwide. Something to that effect.
Mm-hmm. That's well said.
May I add to that?
Yeah, please.
You mentioned about the as resources given to evaluation, but perhaps we should also, make sure that the resources given to getting us to a stage where we can actually start evaluation of IDN GTLDs, because I don't think we are there yet. And once we get there, then the evaluation part, a larger portion of the resources for evaluation of new GTLDs should be put for IDN, and I actually agree with that. However, before we get to the point where we are ready to evaluate IDN TLD applications, we shouldn't stop the process or take away from the resources for the process of evaluating new non-IDN GTLD.
Ram and Alistair, could I ask a question around your proposal?
Sure, please.
I'm just wondering, what is the practical implication of what you're suggesting? Is it going to restrict effectively the number of non-IDN GTLDs that would be evaluated, or what is the, actually the practical effect? I mean, does it basically mean that the practical effect is more or less what Sophia proposed? Something along those lines.
My expectation, Alistair, is that I don't think it's going to restrict the number of applicants. I think applicants are going to send their applications in regardless. I think all it does is that it it incentivizes the appropriate folks to consider IDN, the evaluation of IDN GTLDs, even though it might be significantly larger amount of work or the type of resources needed to perform a good evaluation are certainly new and might be quite different than in non-IDN GTLDs. And so I think that would be the larger effect, that it would give ICANN, for example, impetus to free up a little bit more money, perhaps, to ensure that there are adequate resources to go evaluate IDN GTLDs, assuming that they are appropriately resourced to evaluate non-IDN GTLDs.
Okay, thank you.
Edmund, I see what you're saying, and once I see the transcript, what I will try to do is put together something that I understand what you're saying, and I do agree that insofar as if the community is unable to or has not yet arrived at appropriate criteria for evaluating IDN GTLDs, and should there be resources still available to evaluate non-IDN GTLDs, then such evaluation should go forward. So that's what I understand you saying, and I don't think we'll find much difference of opinion inside of our working group on that. So I'll certainly take that and put it forward to our working group as one conclusion that we can hopefully all sign off on. In the new GTLD strings, we've had good discussion on priority rights, and we also have some interesting discussion. I don't think we have actually agreement on what between graphic, phonetic, and semantic. Nobody said phonetic should be our concern, but I do hear differing points of view on whether we should or should not look at semantic versus graphic. So it's hard to say that we have broad agreement on that area. Clearly, there is no objection to us suggesting the appointment of a liaison to the PDP, but I also hear a number of voices stating that, hey, IDN issues ought to be discussed in the IDN working group and not shunted off to the PDP. And I don't know yet how to bridge that divide. In the other areas that we've discussed today, the statement that has been read into the record by the Dot Travel Registry, to me, that falls into the category of semantic equivalency, and to me, that is an area that we have scheduled for discussion when we talk about existing GTLD strings. Certainly, there is overlap between that and new GTLDs, but we are scheduled to discuss existing GTLD strings, and Olaf, I would request that you take that topic and make sure that gets that comes up for discussion when we talk about existing GTLD strings. On the terminology issue, I am going to request that if there is an accepted protocol definition that is well defined and there are reference sources for it, that those references be added to the wiki. And I would request working group members to get into the wiki and to actually edit if you believe that the current definition is incomplete, I would request that you edit and you contribute to a complete definition that is at the same time also consistent with what the protocol and technical folks are working on. I was obviously trying to summarize here, but my goal for today's call, we've certainly achieved some intense discussion on quite a number of key issues in new GTLD introduction, with the overlapping issues as well, both with existing domain registries as well as existing GTLD strings. I would like to ask you whether you think we should discuss new GTLDs more in our call next week, or whether you think we have discussed this sufficiently, and whether we should move to talk about geopolitical details and existing GTLD strings in our call next week.
Don't these two issues intertwine at multiple points?
Certainly they do, but I would suspect, Kerry, that there are other topics or other aspects that do not link only with new GTLDs when we talk about geopolitical or existing strings.
Ram, can I make a comment, Sophie?
Please.
I think I may have to agree with you on that. We can move on to the next subject, and if we have to link back to the GTLDs, I think we can give it a separate paragraph. I would recommend the priority issue out of the GTLD to be the key one, and perhaps have a consensus on at the end of every whatever outcome that comes out, try to have a consensus on that somehow as a follow-up. And then the other recommendation I would have is on the protocol issue. I think you said we were not clear on if we're going to include all three, the graphics and the phonetics, and the other one. I think after we have the paperwork facilitated by Tina for us, then we can come back to it as a point item, and then we can see what we can do with that so we don't lose track of it.
Thank you, Sophia. Are there any other thoughts on my plan right now? Let me state it quite clearly. My plan at this point is in our next call to move the discussion to start looking a little bit further on geopolitical details as well as existing GTLD strings. I would like to hear now or later on the mailing list if you think that we should instead spend more time on the introduction of new GTLDs topic.
This is William Tan.
Thank you, William. Yeah.
I do second the move to discuss the geopolitical details, because just in the interest of time and the fact that they're intertwined with different focus in both different issues, we can certainly just have a roundup at the end of discussing both issues to go back to any unaddressed problems.
Thank you, William. There was one other person whose voice I heard was lapping.
Edwin, I was. Yeah, I agree that we should agree that we should move on to the geopolitical item discussion. I would, however, I think the second point that I mentioned earlier about the preempting IDM GTLDs, I think that's very much intertwined with at least in my mind, that's very much intertwined with discussions about geopolitical items. So I just want to point out that we don't miss it, because that is being listed on your document as being agreed upon.
Thank you, Edmund. Point noted.
Folks, thank you very much for being on the call and for your participation. I'm also very pleased that we are starting to have some discussion happening on the mailing list as well, and I'm looking forward to the wiki being effective also. So on that note, I thank you, and I look forward to seeing you online as well as on the call next week.
Thank you, Ram.
Have a good day.
Thank you, Ram.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ram, and everyone.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.